Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HR Latte, your first cup of talent management whipped to perfection.
Hey, everybody, welcome to HR Latte. It's Rayanne. So happy to be back today. I flew in yesterday from Chicago after attending the biggest booger of a conference I've ever gone to, the HIMSS 15, which is Healthcare Information Management. It was incredible. I thought I had seen it all at a national SHRM conference. This was twice the size, three times the size. So I was very excited to learn some new things about health information management, all about technology. One of the best things that I saw at this event, I was in a booth broadcasting live for 2 days straight. I think I interviewed about 30 different people during that time with my partner, Joe Lavelle, was the amount, the majority of the individuals that we spoke with were women. So I was really excited to see that shift. Head of information technology at hospitals were women. The majority of them were women. So that was really exciting to see. And to that end, I want to introduce my guest today. Kelly Long is the HR Chief of Staff at Rackspace. Rackspace, known for its great employment brand. Hey, Kelly, thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
So exciting to talk to you. And we'll give a little bit of a precursor here. Kelly is home with sick kids. So if we hear a kid cry in the background or if there's a problem of any kind and she has to step out for a minute, I'll talk a little bit more about the conference that I just came home from. But we're going to try and get right into the meat of our continuing series, which is Positivity at Work. Kelly, tell us a little bit about yourself and then introduce Rackspace.
Sure, absolutely. So Kelly Long, again, HR Chief of Staff at Rackspace Hosting, and I've actually been at Rackspace for 5 years in March. So
wow.
I started, yes, I know, I did not ever expect, I think, when I graduated college to be at a company for so long and to be able to see my career progress the way that it has, but I've been super fortunate to kind of find a great company. Before I was at Rackspace, I was a generalist in Buffalo, New York, so in San Antonio now at Rackspace, and I actually started at Rackspace as a contractor and have kind of slowly worked in different areas of HR within the company, working everywhere from talent acquisition initiatives to global programs and projects that we're rolling out around our sabbatical programs and ETO, PTO changes and benefits, all the way to doing kind of 360s and organizational effectiveness and culture work. So really have had a great opportunity to get my hands into a lot of the meat of what makes our culture and what makes HR work at Rackspace. So I've worked through kind of many different positions now into my HR Chief of Staff position, and I think that that's actually one of the things that makes Rackspace such a special and unique culture is that you really have so much development opportunity. It doesn't have to always be straight up the ladder, but lateral and growing, and there are truly kind of managers and people there that care about your development and want to see you succeed. So it's definitely something that I think is unique about our culture. For those of you that aren't familiar, Rackspace is a managed cloud hosting company. So I guess the easiest way to put it is that we make the internet work. So a lot of the technology that you interact with on a daily basis, everywhere from, you know, kind of PlayStation or MapMyFitness, those are companies that Rackspace powers and, you know, kind of makes what they do work.
Thank you. That was a really powerful intro about an incredibly powerful company known for its culture. So if you could tell us personally about yourself, how your progression has gone at Rackspace. What position did you start at? What was your very first job there?
So I was a contractor, my very first job, actually in for someone that was out on maternity leave, a coordinator in the Rackspace University organization. So that's our training organization within the company. So I started as a contractor, and within a few months was starting to get pulled into a lot of work around competencies and really developing out what are our leadership competencies, what are our RACR competencies, what does this look like at the executive level, at the manager level, at the RACR level. And so really started getting involved in that work, which led to this position of project lead. So in that position, I started doing a lot of work around getting those competencies worked into our different kind of performance management structures. We developed a 360 program and rolled that out. And then I started doing a lot of work with our HR business partner team. So I moved over to that team as a program manager. And in the time that I was in that role, I did a lot of work around, you know, continuing 360 and org development type of stuff, but also getting really into some of our culture work that happens. So a lot of work around core values and around how you can make those an effective tool for your workforce to really kind of rally behind and get really clear on what expectations are and how they should be behaving in the workplace. So Rackers, that's what we call our employees, are super passionate about Rackspace. They're super passionate about Rackspace, and, you know, we are never short of opinions and ideas, and so I got to really work and take a lot of those ideas that Rackers had around how to make our culture special and bring those to life and actually do the work to bring them to fruition. So that was a really exciting time frame for me. And then also been involved in some of our technical career track work. So, you know, we recognize, especially when you have a very technical workforce, that the management path is not the right path for everyone. And so we worked really hard to develop a technical career track for our technical Rackers that truly are leaders and influencers and have so much kind of influence in the industry outside of Rackspace and within Rackspace, and find a career track that would really elevate their career path as well. So a lot of work there with our, you know, chief technology officer and the office of the CTO. So it was a great opportunity to collaborate across the business. So there have been, you know, just multiple different ways that I've been able to get involved with what happens at Rackspace. And again, that speaks, I think, to the culture in terms of if you're interested in doing something, no one is going to stop you. You just go, you go talk to something, you can make things happen if you truly have a drive and a passion for it. So I love that about the company.
And as an outsider,
you, of course.
Yeah, you and I have been friends for a long time, and I've watched your progression within the company, and as an outsider, to see how they have really not only taken care of you, but have tapped into the areas that where they could see that you had talent, that you had expertise, where you could excel, and also realize that, hey, this is a young mother. She's got three small children at home, and we need to support that. And she'll be happier at work. She'll contribute more at work. And so to that end, they have been very flexible when, as in today, you've got sick children, or when you lived outside of Texas, you were living in Arizona for a while and doing your work remotely, and then helping you come back to the fold, so to speak, moving back to you're in San Antonio, correct?
Yeah, so I was working remotely, as you mentioned, out of Phoenix when I was doing the program manager role, and when I the support around that decision was phenomenal as well. It hadn't really been done within the HR department before, so again, willing to look at new ideas and accept new ways of working. When I stepped into the HR chief of staff role about a year ago now, we relocated back to San Antonio. So I've been in the chief of staff role for a year, and it's been a really great way for me to get involved in the strategy behind HR and the different kind of overall program initiatives that we have going on across the entire HR function. So we've got an HR team of about 160 now. We are a global team, so we have Rackers in our London office, in Blacksburg, in San Francisco, in Austin, in San Antonio. So a really great opportunity to work on a global level with some really, you know, strategic, important work for the company. So it's been a great year so far, and I'm super excited for the year that that we have ahead of us in 2015. And to that end, I mean, Rackspace is just been named in the top 10 for Anita Borg of best places for women to work for. So I think that really speaks true to that. Yep, so that flexible working. I've had three kids in my 5-year tenure at Rackspace, and you know, it's not something that is hindering my career development in any way, my career progression in any way. They are super supportive of flex time, of continuing to develop and all of that. So it's been a really great ride.
So they're known for creating this positive work space, being progressive in thinking, whether it has to do with technology or gender equality. Obviously, we've got that going on at Rackspace. So when you look at, as the HR chief of staff, creating a positive workplace, and how many employees are there globally for Rackspace? You've got 160 in HR specifically, but how many globally?
We have about 6,000 globally.
Okay. So that's a pretty good size company, right? And you're managing a lot of virtual workers and remote locations. So when you create a positive workspace, what does that entail? And how has your role and the evolving role of HR, because HR has, as we know, has changed so much in the last 10 years. How has it played a role in developing this progressive workplace that Rackspace has become?
So how I think about it is our positive workforce is really comes from being able to develop effective relationships. So we think about things like when you look at our core values, and we did a lot of work around one of our core values is friends and family. And for a long time, there was some, you know, confusion around what does that really mean for records? Does that mean that I need to go get, you know, my friends and family hired at Rackspace? Does that mean that I have to be nice to everybody all the time, even though that's not how I really feel, because we're all friends and family, right? So a lot of kind of not everyone on the same page about what it means. So we went through an exercise to go through our defining and defeating behaviors of our core values. And the friends and family one was my favorite one, because this is the concept that we use around Rackspace of take it to the racker, which is if you have an issue with something or you have a problem, you go and you talk to that person and you find a way to figure it out. And you have direct conversations and you deal with difficult conversations, like difficult situations, the right way. And you also do it by assuming positive intent. So I think that that's where sometimes I think people, both professionally and personally, probably, it's hard sometimes to always assume positive intent. It's really easy to assume, oh, this person did this because they're just a bad person, or they wanted to get in my way or make it more difficult for me. But I think that if you can always approach how you work and how you live with assuming positive intent of others, that you can really start building those relationships effectively. You can develop mutual trust, mutual respect, and it kind of just grows from there. So we've really done a lot of work around making sure that those core values and those behaviors are top of mind for Rackers. They're part of our performance management process, our 360 process, our leadership development programs. And, you know, the other piece of it on top of the core values piece is also making sure that Rackers and managers feel comfortable expressing themselves, and, you know, they don't feel like they can't say how they feel or things like that, and that they're getting the attention from managers they want, that we're developing as an HR organization managers that can be really effective in their roles and can have those conversations the right way and have one-on-ones and do things that really inspire and engage and motivate their Rackers in the right way, because it's all about for us to deliver fanatical support to all of our customers. Discretionary effort is such a huge part of that equation.
I just love hearing all of these things. I told Steve Brown last week of La Rosa's when I was talking to him, can I come work for you? I feel the same way when I'm talking with you. But, assuming positive intent, I made note that you said that earlier in that statement, is far and above a very different way to think about employees, the way HR might think about employees. A lot of them assume negativity or assume that foul behavior is going on, instead of saying, we're going to assume that something great is going on and we're going to support that. And to think that your Rackers and your managers are given an opportunity to really have a discussion. Now, when you said make sure that there's communication open, do you have an online forum? Is it all about face-to-face communication? How are you making sure that the employees, that the Rackers and the managers are really having this positive, open channel of communication?
So we actually have several different ways, and we're probably one of the companies that the one way that I'm going to share. I think that sometimes people come to Rackspace, and they, especially people that work in HR, come to Rackspace, and they just kind of look at us like, you let them do what? So we have this email thread called SA Fun that Rackers can opt into, and it really ends up being an email thread about just about anything under the sun, but including employee issues, gripes about programs that HR is rolling out, gripes about, you know, our CEO, which actually there aren't that many because our CEO is super fantastic. I'm super happy that we put him in the role last year. And, you know, everything from I'm selling this, I need a babysitter, everything you could imagine. It's this thread that just kind of develops a life of its own. And Rackers can pretty much say whatever they think about the company, about what's going on in their lives, and there's no repercussions for it. So there's just this huge empty forum, if you will. Obviously, we have to monitor that from an HR perspective on an ongoing basis, just to make sure that there's not any, you know, discriminatory comments, just there's not any inappropriate behavior taking place, but not taking action on or judging some of the topics that might come up. The other thing that we do, too, is we have an engagement survey that comes out twice a year called Racker Pulse, and every wrapper participates in this. We have a great participation rate. So I think it is about 85% for a company of 6,000 doing engagement surveys twice a year. So managers get a report that specifically calls out behaviors around, you know, my team, my leadership, you know, my results. And we do it on an NPS scale because we are a net promoter company. So we ask questions around recommending your manager as a person to work for and recommending Rackspace as a company to work for. And that really gives us a great barometer, and it also gives us a lot of really great input of, you know, where do we need our senior leadership team to be focused on to make sure that Rackers are getting the right communication and they feel, you know, bought into our mission and they believe in, you know, where we're going, all the way down to there's some work we need to do around the tools and systems that we have for Rackers so that they feel like they have what they need to get their job done. So, you know, we have that. Managers take it really seriously. And it's a big part of our culture. And then we have, you know, open book forums on a monthly basis that our CEO leads with the company, just to kind of open air and talk about what's going on within the company. Transparency is also one of our values. So it's really important for us to make sure that we're sharing relevant information with Rackers. And if we can't share all of the information, making sure that we're sharing the what and the why behind that and behind those decisions.
It sounds like there's so much meat behind what's being shared, too. It's not just fluff and aren't we great and
No. Let's
throw confetti and, you know, let the balloons fly. Aren't we a great organization? We all know so much and we're so important. It's a lot about culture, really digging into what culture means.
Yeah.
So can you share with folks listening what is the most important thing to remember when it comes to developing a positive workspace? Is it that ability to have open communication? What is it about having a great culture? Is it just hiring great people? Mm-hmm. Is it tapping into what their passions end up being?
Mm-hmm. So a couple different things. And I think what I really want to make sure I start with is that I think that the misconception that a lot of people make is that they can control culture. And that just isn't the way that a true culture works. If it's going to be truly reflective of your workforce, culture is going to be something that is continually evolving and changing over time as there are new people coming in, as there's, you know, people exiting the company. It's this kind of like ever-growing kind of ball of, you know, just people. And I think that we know working in HR, whether you've, you know, kind of worked at more traditional HR companies or more progressive HR companies, people are super unpredictable. Like, I know we are never short of, you know, fun stories about, can you believe that this happened? And
yeah.
So I think just understanding that, you know, that we can't control that, and just we do a really great job of keeping pulse with that. So from a culture perspective, we have what's called our culture instigators. So these are Rackers out in the business that are super passionate about Rackspace and the culture at Rackspace that we partner with to make sure that we're focused on the right things and doing things from a culture perspective that are really making the right impact and not just, you know, going through a whole bunch of activity that's like, oh, you know, HR pushed out this party or this book or, you know, this whatever, but doing things that make an impact on how people interact. The culture is how people interact with one another and how they collaborate with one another and, you know, the things that they can get done together. And so we really try to make sure that we've got the right people focused on those things. Fanatical culture is one of our main focuses as an overall company for 2015. And so we have the full support of our senior leadership team around how important our engagement and our culture is to Rackers, because we truly do want to make it a great place to work.
And you said fanatical culture?
Yes, fanatical culture. So that kind of is what our initiative is referred to this year, is fanatical culture. And, you know, a part of that is keeping Rackspace special. So, you know, making sure that we have things going on at Rackspace that maybe other companies wouldn't offer. And it doesn't always have to be kind of the big, fancy, over-the-top perks that you see around, you know, always free lunches or all of this stuff.
Right,
for us,
right.
Keeping Rackspace special is about making sure that managers are empowered to do fun things with their team and take their fun budget, because each team is allocated a fun budget at Rackspace where they have money every quarter to go and come up with, like, you know, super fun, crazy things that their team can go do together. And we don't have a lot of restrictions or limitations around what those things are. Now, I remember one of our bonus payout days, one of the managers decided that it was going to be super fun at an open book to surprise everybody. They went and they got some, an inordinate amount of fake money printed up. And then when, you know, our bonus payout was announced, he had a whole bunch of people kind of make it rain money down on the crowd below them.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's Rackers feeling empowered to be able to go and do fun stuff like that that really keeps Rackspace exciting and special.
So in a twist to that actually promotes and builds within an organization an opportunity to move toward continuing success. Can you share with us examples of how you've seen that happen at Rackspace, how creating positivity has moved the company toward becoming more successful?
Absolutely. So through the engagement surveys, you know, one of the things that we started to do is create kind of a toolkit of managers that really do a great job of engaging their teams and creating that positive environment that really makes a difference. And so we were able to collect stories from managers and hear from their teams as well. And then we can go and we can look at the results of those teams in terms of how are they supporting their customers and what is their NPS result, and you know, are they hitting all of their metrics and all of their numbers from an actual business operations perspective? And what we can find is that the more engaged teams, the more positive teams that have that environment, like, they are delivering business outcomes. So if you look at our NPS scores, for instance, if you match up our NPS scores from our employee engagement survey to our NPS scores of those teams, you know, there's some rework we need to do because it doesn't match up perfectly. But, you know, you can start to see that it really is those engaged teams that deliver, you know, good results for our customers.
That's great. So when we consider one of the most popular phrases, buzz phrases today and last year has been, actually for the last few years, has been employment or employer branding. So when we think about that and how important it is for truthful employment branding to bring in successful employees to an organization, quality employees that will work and fit with the culture that's in place, does that matter? Does employment branding really matter when it comes to talent attraction and talent management and then retaining that talent?
I really think that it does. So Rackspace, even, you know, 5-6 years ago, I would say that our employment brand was about kind of come work here, you can work on some tech stuff, wear flip-flops, play ping pong, drink some beer, kind of this not lackadaisical, but this kind of fun environment. And it still is that fun environment, but how we've really changed, and especially because of the space that we have to recruit and attract in, the tech space, especially as a company in San Antonio, that's not always an easy feat. So our employment brand is super, super crucial to attracting talent to Rackspace. Especially, you know, we've got Austin only an hour north. That's an up-and-coming hub for tech. And so it's, you know, constantly being aware of our employment brand. And the problem is that the employment brand is, you know, we can't just say it is whatever it is. It has to actually be true and it has to actually be real for the organization. And so it goes beyond just saying that you can come work with Rackspace to work on some compelling and meaningful work and make a difference in the tech industry. That actually has to be what those people come and do at Rackspace then, because that's where your employment brand really starts to get misconstrued, is that you sell something to someone and they come and that's not what it is and they don't stay for very long. And so we do a lot of work on the inside that wouldn't necessarily be considered employment branding, that really is branding. And that's to make sure that we have meaningful projects and meaningful work and that we're developing things the right way and thinking about product development the right way and thinking about how we support customers the right way and where the tech industry is going. And that's a hard thing to do. It changes. I mean, I have never worked in such an ever-changing, fast-paced environment because nothing ever stays the same in the tech industry. So it's constantly changing. So being able to adapt with that and also being able to be really honest with candidates about that. So it is fast-moving, and things might change, and you might have to be flexible and adaptable, but you know, being upfront about that makes a difference. And, you know, the other thing, too, I would mention is just like culture, employment brand is something that your employees really have a big part of as well. It's who they talk to, it's who they refer,
That's
it's
right.
how they speak at conferences about Rackspace, it's how they share stories about Rackspace to their social networks, to their friends, it's all of those things. And so that cannot be controlled by, you know, a brand
right.
team or an employment brand team sitting in an HR team. It's got to really be the way that your company operates.
that's the employees bubbling up through the brand, right? And that makes the brand mm-hmm. true and strong and real. When you consider, so Kelly, you've had this progression. Those of us that know you have watched your progression over the last few years. You're young. You would be considered, you know, part of that next-gen workforce that's moving into leadership roles, which you have done very well. And I hope you don't mind if I ask, you're under 30, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so under 30 years
just
old, part of a...
Just turned 29, there you go.
There you go. Part of a progressive, very progressive organization, heading up a progressive team, really digging into ideas outside of the normal scope of HR that have been traditional, right? When we consider what employment branding really is, I mean, you've dug into the heart of it in just in the last 4 minutes of conversation here. When you consider your own future at Rackspace and your own job, maybe you could identify a couple of key things that you have done that you have made a priority so that you work on your own retention, keeping your own job. What have you done personally that's helped you to progress in your career with Rackspace? And maybe just give us a couple of key things.
So I guess the first thing that comes to mind is that I've been really transparent with my manager about what I enjoy doing, what I feel like my strengths are, and what I want to continue doing, as well as what I don't enjoy. So I fully intend to stay at Rackspace as long as I possibly can, as long as I'm engaged, as long as I'm in a role that makes that fulfills me. And so I have really, you know, authentic conversations with my manager about what those things are and how I can be involved in those type of activities. So those type of projects. So for instance, if something spins up and, you know, there's, you know, we need a tiger team, so to speak, to go tackle some fire drill that pops up right away. You know, my manager knows that that's really engaging work for me, so he'll come to me and he'll say, hey, this really needs to get taken care of. Can you go make this a priority right now? So making sure that your manager understands what fulfills you is so hugely important.
Right.
And I think that, you know, the mistake that I think a lot of people can make is they expect their manager to come to them and have those conversations with them. And I've never been afraid to just kind of sit down and have a really candid conversation with who I work with and who I report into about, you know, what fulfills me and what I want to be working on. There's no reason that I need to wait for my manager to come have those conversations with me. So I think that, you know, first and foremost, it's keeping that dialogue open with your manager.
Being proactive.
Hopefully you're working at a company where your manager supports your development and they want to be involved in that process and they're invested in it because they want to keep you and retain you as an employee. So that is one of them. And I think the other thing, too, for me has been getting outside of my world of HR. So it has been super exciting to watch the career development of some Rackers. They have bounced from support positions to actually one of our former heads of HR was a support manager, and he came into HR for a couple of years, and then he went, you know, back out into the business. So we have these transitions that happen at Rackspace all over the company. And so I also don't want to pigeonhole myself necessarily into any specific thing. And so I take opportunities when they come to go work with partners in the business and stakeholders in the business and get involved with different projects that are happening. And part of how that makes my job easier too now, and if I continue to progress in HR at Rackspace, is that then you have champions in the business who understand how HR works and how they think and how they can continue to help and be involved and grow and progress the evolution of HR. Because a truly progressive HR company is one that's going to be so in line, like just step to step with the business and with those stakeholders, that's how the real transformational change happens. So just kind of that getting involved.
I love
in the
that.
Business and knowing and understanding what your company does. And, you know, the last one, this is kind of simple, but for me, it's levity. It's you want to be somebody that people feel good around, that they want to be around, that they want to work with, because you bring an energy or a positivity or, you know, kind of that levity to working on projects and tackling things. That if you become somebody that people want to work with, like, people want to help you and they want to work with you, and you start to really find a way to get things done. So I guess those would be my three.
I love that, Kelly. Thank you for sharing those things. In particular, I really enjoyed that getting outside of HR. One of the best things I ever did when I worked in-house as head of recruitment for a tech company was to sit in on multifunctional teams where there was somebody from every department around the organization that were sitting on these teams and talking and really gaining insight into what each department, what they had their hands in and how we could benefit and help each other. I love that. So as we close out, it always goes so fast. It's already been 30 minutes. How did that happen? Any last words of wisdom? Any last words of wisdom you could share?
I mean, I guess all I can, you know, I think that every employee, whether you work in HR or you don't work in HR, has the ability on a day-to-day basis to impact the culture and the positivity of the workforce in just even little ways, if it's the way that you interact with people. And so I think that, you know, it is sometimes little tiny baby steps that, you know, get you to the finish line or get you to that next big jump that can be made. And so it's really kind of back to the whole kind of change starts with you, and you, I think that everybody has the opportunity to do that on a daily basis.
Right.
So I would say just you could take advantage of it and, you know, get it done.
That's great, Kelly. Thank you so much for being here. As we wrap up, my favorite, selfishly, my favorite part of the show is when I get to ask my guests there a couple of things that are their favorites in the world. They're my quick hit faves, I call them. So what's your favorite food?
Oh, gosh. Favorite, this is going to sound silly. It's macaroni and cheese, character-shaped macaroni and cheese.
I love that. Definitely a mama thing. Definitely a mama thing.
Yes.
And your favorite book. Your favorite book of all time, or maybe it's something that you're reading right now that you're enjoying.
Actually, so I just finished reading The Alchemist. It's taken me several years to read it. It's been sitting on my nightstand for several years now. I just finished it, and it was I really enjoyed it. So definitely taking some lessons back from that one. I would encourage that one to anyone who needs a little bit of inspiration and lift for their life.
I love that. You were the second person within the last 2 days that has suggested I read that book. So I'm going to definitely add that to my own nightstand. Your favorite place in the world. Favorite place in the world. This could be your back porch. It could be the swing set with your kids. It could be Buffalo, New York. Wherever is your favorite place in the world?
Favorite place in the world, honestly, is with my kids and with the people that I love. I could care less physically where I am as long as I've got, you know, the people I love around me. So.
And it sounds like that rolls right into your favorite thing to do. But is there something else out there that you love to do?
Oh, no. I am just this kind of weird, random assortment of things that I'm interested in. But I do, I have started taking, doing more dance classes lately. So I was a ballerina my whole life and, you know, going through some personal changes right now that really is pushing me to connect with some things that, you know, helped me and made me feel good and grow as a teenager. So it's been kind of an interesting and fun experience to kind of put those toe shoes back on my feet and, you know, let some
I love
some emotion
that.
Out.
Well, congratulations. And that's great fitness too and releasing energy through physicality. I love that. Well, Kelly, it's been such a dream to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining me today as we continue our series on positivity at work.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great speaking with you.
It's been great. Kelly Long has been our guest today. She's the HR Chief of Staff at Rackspace. Come to us next week. We'll be talking with the Lou Adler, who has requested that I change the show from HR Latte to HR Cappuccino. I guess he's not a Lappuccino. A Lappuccino. Maybe I'll combine them too. Sounds like one of those gourmet dogs, you know. Anyway, HR
Macchiato.
Cappuccino. There you go. Next week with Mr. Lou Adler, we'll be talking about creating a positive customer experience through performance-based hiring, which is his specialty. And if you are unfamiliar with Lou, I suggest you Google him, take a look at him, and get to learn a little bit more about him. Also, we'll be speaking with author Andrew Thorne, who happens to be my brother, and has written a book about creating a positive legacy and how that affects your ability to be a leader. And last but not least, we'll be talking with Kelly Orchard, who will talk about the effects of individual possibility and positivity at the end of the month. So thanks for joining us today on this special edition of HR Latte with my guest, Kelly Long. Thanks, Kelly. Make it a great week.